Okay, we're in Pasuk Chaf from Perek Chaf Beis. Okay, Pasuk Chaf. We continue on the bottom of page 362. Vayotze Lamerchav Osi. Vayotze Lamerchav Osi. He went out, he brought me out. Merchav means wide. He made something in which I was in a very narrow space, in which I felt constricted, and that I had no ability to move. Sometimes if you would go up to someone and hold them, it may be okay for a second or two, but then you say, I'm not letting go. You don't know what to do. You're out of, because you're stuck. And can you, being stuck in something which you can't move out of, you can't turn in any direction, it's a very scary feeling.
What's
Merchav?
It's a street.
Rachav means wide, width, right? So I was in a broad, wide space. That's what I was brought out into. So now I have the freedom to move in different directions, which before I was confined and constricted. That's what Hashem has done for me. Yechaltzeni ki chafetz bi, says the Mesuda Sion, Enin Hotsa, which again means going out, which translates as he released me, ki chafetz bi, because he chafetz, he desires and he loves me, he cares about me. So Hashem gave me this ability to be able to have this freedom because he cares about me so much. And if we look in the bottom of page 363 in English, he brought me out into a broad space. He removed me from a constricted space where I was almost within Shaul's grasp and brought me to a large area where I could maneuver. Thus he released me from danger. So for those football fans out there, it's much, when a person has the football, if I can use this analogy, because I used to play football, if you have an open field and you have your enemy on the other side, so you can go this way and that way, it's so much easier to make a little move and then you're free to go straight down. But when you're crunched and there's people all around you, then you can't go very far. That's how I think of it when I hear this this concept of Hashem gave him the ability to have the freedom to move around. And then we look in the English there afterwards on the bottom, Chavitzbi, sometimes a person escapes one predicament only to find himself in another. That doesn't really help you. So you get from one confined space to the next. So now you're in a different location, but you still have another problem, another issue. A hostage may buy his freedom with everything he has, then it comes free, but now he's poverty stricken. Someone may lose some of his priceless reward in Olam Haba in the world to come, in return for God's help in this world. But what David is telling us, he faced no such predicament. God helped him because he desired him, at no spiritual or material cost to himself. So this is, again, David showing his thanks to Hashem. Now, according to Chazal, it's not brought down here in these commentators, but nonetheless, another interpretation is that when it says that Hashem has given me this this freedom, what exactly is Vayan Sinimit Ulamerchav? Nosim Lias HaTorah. It's very interesting. It's not brought down over here. It says, but the Torah is what has given me the ability to have this freedom. And it brings down sentences. Exactly. That's what's beautiful about this. He says, and he brings through a sentence, Shnema Rucha Me'eretz Mida Rechava Maniyam, that it's comparable to the sea and how vast it is in length and width. That's what Torah is. Torah actually gives a person freedom. It's brought down in Perkei Avos that a person has chayrus, has freedom, once they learn. And the idea of what Torah is that Torah is something in which gives you the ability to think. We know that when it comes to education, if a person doesn't know anything, doesn't know any better, so then you don't have the ability to really make choices because you haven't been exposed to all the different opportunities because you just don't know anything other than what you've seen. when a person goes to a school, to a college, and, or learns new things, picks up new hobbies, so then all of a sudden you've expanded, your mind has expanded, it's become widened, if you will. And that's what Torah also does. Torah is supposed to give us the ability to realize that we have the capacity to be in complete control over ourselves. A person who does not have Torah values, they don't follow ethics, they really have very little self-control. They are completely wrapped up in their taivos, their desires, and they can't control their midos, their attributes, the way that they're supposed to behave, which the Torah teaches us how we're supposed to act and talk and speak and whatever. So when a person embraces Torah, this is teaching us that's a way of having this wit, this ability to think differently, to think really far out of the box. And that's perhaps what David is teaching us ourselves as well, which is interesting. It is the opposite of what one would normally think, which the Torah is all these rules and restrictions, but the truth is, it's those mitzvos that give us the ability to be able to have that self-control, to be able to really be in control of who we are, and not feel that we're stuck into one way of thinking. Continuing in the next pasuk Chaval, Yigmaleni Hashem Kisik Kasi, Hashem will give me back and pay me back based on my Sidkasi, my charity, my tzedakah, my righteousness that I performed in my life. Kivor Yadai Yashiv Li. Kivor is translated in the Mesudas Siyam's Moshin, Borer V'Naki, that I was clean, I was perfect, my hands, I have clean hands, I didn't do anything wrong. Yashiv Li, so Hashem will repay me. So all the things that I've done, I should be compensated for all those wonderful things. So what did David do that was so great? So the Mesudas David says over here in Pasuk Aleph, Kisid Kasi, Kfisid Kasi, according to the things that I've done which was proper. Ki lo hariosi es acher mehem, echa mehem, that I never caused harm to one of them. Well, David did kill a whole bunch of people, but those people that wished to pursue him, Shaul, he had the opportunity to kill him, as we're going to see explicitly in the sentences, that he had the ability, if you actually look, the very last line in Rashi, which is skipping a few sentences, it says, Shul harativ bikarti knap me'elo. Now we know that when Shaul was pursuing him when he was in like the area of like En Gedi, he was hiding in certain caves, and Shaul went into a cave to relieve himself. He had no idea that David was there because it was like a spider web and the whole story. David had the ability to kill him right there, and that would have ended all of his problems, but he didn't. Instead, he tore a little part of the garment, as we'll see he shouldn't have done, which shows a lack of respect for one's clothes. But nonetheless, he did that to make the point that I could have killed you and I didn't. If I was able to just cut your garment, I could have just easily stabbed you and it would have been the end of all my issues. It would have been done. You would have fallen down, all my enemies would have fallen down and then come over as well. I didn't. So since I did something in which I was being pursued, you would have killed me. So if a person wants to kill you, you have the right to protect yourself. So I didn't even do that. So therefore, Hashem will give me back. Hashem has repaid me for the righteousness and the goodness that I've done in my life. Now, Rashi gives a completely different interpretation. As all these sentences, again, is the personal and the communal, on a national level. Rashi says, "Kisitkasi," the very top line, Pasuk Chafalef on this on page 364, "Kishiyatsu acharav lamidbar," the samchu al haftachasa. Then it says that when the Jewish people left the and they went into this vast wilderness, the pasuk tells us, "Vaseidulosalem," they went with no provisions. Can you imagine going? You know, a person wants to go on a little field trip for a day, so you want to make sure it's hot out. You have to make sure you have and a lot of bottles of water, you have all these things. The Jewish people, over a million people, were out in the wilderness, in the desert, with a beating hot sun, and they didn't bring anything. They didn't bring enough food, enough water. They brought nothing. Why? Because, as Rashi says, they had bitachon. They had trust in Hashem. They believed that Hashem would protect them, Hashem would take care of them. And therefore, this is referring to the Jewish people and how they were, their acts of righteousness, and how Hashem should repay us for our bitachon, the emuna that we have, that we believe in Hashem. A fundamental concept of our religion is having emuna. So when we have the emuna, we realize that it's not all up to us. We put in our efforts, but at a certain point we realize that we need God to assist us, then Hashem will help us out. When we realize that we think that it's all up to us, so God may say, okay, it's up to you, so good luck. But when we realize that it's really not up to me, it's up, Hashem is the one who's in control of this world, then Hashem will be more apt to assist us because we recognize His hand. We look in the English over here, on the bottom right on page 364, it says as follows, that Rashi, following his general approach to this part of the song, as we said, it's talking about the Jewish people, sees this as an allusion to Israel's trust in God. When they left Egypt and followed Moshe into the vast, uncharted desert without provisions or preparation, they relied totally on God's assurance, as the pasuk says, etc., etc. If you look in the next page, according to most commentators, however, and according to alternative explanation given by Rashi, it's not over here, David is referring to his own righteousness in refusing to kill Shaul when he had the opportunity to do so. So, however we want to look at this particular sentence, this is how it's explained. it's also brought down that the righteousness that was done perhaps is referring to, as we were mentioned, the sentence before is talking about how the Jewish people accepted the Torah. So immediately after the Jews accepted the Torah, there was a terrible, terrible thing that the Jewish people did, which was, of course, the sin of the Egel Hazav, the golden calf. And it mentions that all the Jewish people, all the tribes were involved in this sin, with the exclusion of Shevet Levi. The tribe of Levi did not involve itself in this action, for whatever reason. And therefore, some explain that that's what David is alluding to over here. That there was the Shevet Levi was the one tribe that did not involve itself in this particular sin. Moving on to the next pasuk. Pasuk HaBeis. Ki shemarti darchei Hashem v'lo rashati me'elokoi. So, he says that, so this sounds pretty clear to Kaman himself, that I was Shomer, I kept darchei Hashem, the path and the ways of Hashem, v'lo rashati me'elokoi, and I did not act as a Rasha, I did not act wicked in any of my ways. Moving on, Pasuk of Gimel says, "Ki kol mishpatav lenegdi, v'chu kosav lo'aser mimena." That all of the mishpatim, all of these laws, all the mitzvos, I kept them, and they were lenegdi. Lenegdi means they were in front of me. There was not a moment in my time that I forgot about Hashem. I always kept that in my focus. And there are other mitzvahs also that I didn't forsake, that I didn't push away. As we know, a chok is a completely different level of a mitzvah. A chok is a mitzvah which is beyond one's comprehension. We don't understand, and Parshas Chukas, which is a chok, represents the ultimate paradox of the Parduma, the red heifer, which is very difficult or impossible to understand. That's why it's called a chok. So we look in the Mesudas David, he explains, they're all mitzvahs. So what's the difference? He kept all the mitzvahs. You see, he kept all the mitzvahs. So Mesudas David says over here, in Pasuk of Gimel, v'chukos avi'af ha'chukos, I even kept the laws that made no sense. Heim ha'devarim shetamehem ne'elomim. It doesn't say that there are no reasons for it, but they're hidden. There's something which we don't understand based on our limited capacity to grasp the knowledge of God. So there is logic. It's not illogical, but the idea is it's not something which we understand. I kept those mitzvahs too. Lo Asur says, Mesudas David, that feel me achas mimenu lo Asur es atzmi. I never removed myself from any of those mitzvahs, and that's the reason why Hashem cared about me. Because even if I didn't understand why the mitzvah was given to me, I did it anyway. Because Hashem gave me this mitzvah, it's a Gezeres HaMelech, and I kept it. And therefore, God is going to be more willing to protect and to take care of me. If we look in English over here, 22 and 23, it says that David deserved God's help because he observed the positive commandments and not transgress the negative one, says the Ebenezer. And then the next paragraph, the reason I was able to restrain myself from harming Shaul, though my forbearance kept me in mortal danger, and the reason I was able to remain joyous despite constant travail, is because I always believe that God's judgment is correct and righteous. So the beauty of what is a chok, the chok doesn't just mean blindly doing a mitzvah, but the concept of doing a mitzvah which we don't understand is supposed to give us a completely different perspective of our entire lives. If we do a mitzvah which we don't understand, but we believe that God understands, that there is a reason for a chok, which I just don't get, but I have to do it anyway, then when it comes to everything in our life, we could envision it as a chok. Concept, the same concept of a chok. Certain things I get. Certain things make sense. There's a rational order as to why things happened in this world. But as we know, there are many, many things which make absolutely no sense to us. And we could look at those things and get angry and say, God forbid, there's no God. You can say, if God was my neighbor, he'd have a lot of broken windows because people would be angry at having such a person who would be so harmful. If we're God's children, how could you be so abusive to a child, right? If you're abusive to a child, you take that child away from the parent. So God, we're banim atzem Hashem okeichem. How could God do these things to his children? The answer is it's a chok. I don't understand. And if you could let go and let God and recognize that there is a God in this world and he understands things that we don't understand, it's a very humbling experience. But if one can internalize that and really believe it, then you'll have a different perspective of everything in life. You're not going to be as resentful and angry, but you'll understand that there's a reason why things happen, which we don't understand all the answers. We try to understand. We have books and books and books. Our religion is not let's hide education. It's embrace it. Let's learn as much as possible. Let's understand as much as possible. But that doesn't mean we'll get it all. It'd be foolish to think that in any discipline that you can think, I know it all. That's the reason why you have people that are in universities that are doing postdoc work, and they don't understand. They're scratching the surface of one little part which maybe they'll get a better understanding of. But the wiser they are, the more they realize their limitations and how much they don't really know. In fact, when it comes to a study, in a dissertation, a thesis, one of the chapters is a limitations. You have to write a whole paragraph to show that you're missing out on so many other aspects. And that's the same thing. As much as we think we know, the more we learn, the more we realize how little we actually know. And why is David telling us this? David is telling us because it's a reflection of his own life. He's lived a righteous life. He was a chassid, he was a tzaddik. Nonetheless, what happened? Shaul wanted to kill him, his son wanted to kill him, he had problems, he had to fight wars, he had all these different issues. Nonetheless, he said, V'chukosa v'lasrimen. The pasuk is saying that I kept all of my chukim. I kept all of the laws, which means even though I didn't understand the reason why God was making me run away and all these terrible things were happening in my life, I observed those chukim. I didn't just keep the laws of the red heifer. It means that I embraced that concept of a chok and realized that there's a God in this world and he understands more than I do. And therefore, that's why God took care of me, because I understood that God was involved. Pasuk Chavdalet. Pasuk Chavdalet continues and says, V'eyeh tomim lo v'eshtamra me'oini. So he says that a tom, which is often mistranslated in the Haggadah, the simple son, Yaakov Avinu was called an Ishtam. Yaakov Ishtam Yoishev Ohalim. He sat in tents. Doesn't mean that Yaakov, one of the greatest people on this earth, is a simple person. A tom is someone who is perfect. But sometimes a person who is simple, you take things for face value. It means I'm perfect. I don't need to delve and to have doubts. And that's what a tom is, a person who is very pure. So what is David saying over here? He said that I was tamim, I acted perfectly, And then he says, and I was protective, ishtamra mevoni, against doing any form of sin. So again, I was doing the right thing throughout my entire life. Pasuk of Hey, v'yosha Hashem li kesid kasi, and Hashem again repays me based on the righteousness that I've done. Givori l'neged einav, according to the bori, as we said before in the Mesudas Sion, the cleanliness and the perfection that was l'neged einav, which was before His eyes. So Hashem repays us not based on the way that we can have other people perceive us, and that we're really hypocrites. We act one way in front of someone, behind closed doors we act somewhere else. It's l'neged einav. The way Hashem sees us, that is how we're going to be judged. And the way that other people perceive us is really quite insignificant in the bigger picture. Im chasid tis chasod, im gibor tamim titamam. And then he says, the way that Hashem deals with people is as follows, that if you are someone who is a chasid, then Hashem will also deal with you in that fashion. Im gibor tamim titamam. If you are an individual who is strong, who is perfect, then that's how Hashem will also deal with you in the same way, wholeheartedly. So what does it mean to be a chassid? A chassid is someone who has a furry hat and long peos and a long coat. A chassid, as it's brought down in Svarim, Musar Svarim, is someone who goes lifnim mishuras hadin. You go above the letter of the law. What does it mean to go above the letter of the law? You're not allowed to add more than the 613 mitzvos. But it means to be done the kafskos. That if you look favorably upon a person, that you're not critical and exact, and that one, you do one little thing wrong, forget it. You're a Russia, you're a terrible person. I'll never forgive you for the terrible thing that you did. What did I do? I didn't do anything really that bad. I'll never forgive you. I'm sorry, too bad. So how do you think Hashem will look at you? When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, when it comes to Yer Yom HaDin, Hashem will say, oh, that is the way that you, your standards, these are your standards. If that's your standards toward other people, that has to be that way that you will be judged as well. It's only fair. After all, that's the type of person you are. You're very, very machbid. You're very exact. And therefore Hashem will say, oh, okay, that's the type of person you are, so therefore I must be exact with you. And that's certainly, when it comes to Yom HaDin, that's not the way that we want to be judged. On the other hand, to be done the kafskus, okay, you made a mistake, I forgive you, not a problem. I mentioned a few weeks ago, not in my Navi class, that there's one of the most beautiful prayers that's so worthwhile saying. It's said every single night. It's part of Kriya Shema Al Hamita. When a person goes to sleep, it's customary to say the first paragraph of Shema. In the Siddur, before the Shema, there's a paragraph called Ribono Shel Olam. If you ever seen it, it blows the mind. It's the most amazing prayer. And it says, and the prayer is, that any person that did anything wrong to you throughout the course of your day, you forgive them with all of your heart. And to say that every single day, no matter what happened throughout the course of the day, and it could have been some minor things, someone may have cut you off in traffic, could have been something really significant, but to say that prayer with all of your heart, and then the end of that paragraph says, you know what, God, forgive me as well. So if I have the capacity to forgive others, to be a chassid, to look the other way, then Hashem will do the exact same thing for us. It's a very worthwhile paragraph to look at, and one has the ability to say, and to really take a peek at the English and really internalize those words. It's very, very, very meaningful. And that's what David is saying, that the way that Hashem, the way that we deal others, that's how Hashem deals with us. So therefore, I, as a chassid, I mean, Hashem did so many kind acts of kindness because I did acts of kindness. It makes sense. That's how I'm judged. And that's the only reason why I'm here today, is because I made the decision to act properly toward others. So therefore, Hashem will treat me that way as well. Similarly, Pasuk of Zion says, Im navar titavar, v'im ikesh titapol. Masuda Sion says it's a lashon bar v'naki. If you're a very good, straight as an arrow type of person, then that's exactly how Hashem will act towards you. Ve'im ikesh titapol. But if you're someone who is corrupt, someone who is wrong, who's bent, then Hashem will cause you to fall. Same idea. But if you look in the English over here on page 365, where it says 27, God deals with man in the same manner that man deals with him. So Rashi brings down that's referring to Paro. So Paro acted in a certain way. So that's how he was treated. Then the English says like this: although it is generally forbidden for a person to act perversely and brazenly, it is necessary to do so when dealing with evil people. But one must be sure that one's intention is sincere. In fact, this sentence, the Talmud brings down that Jacob said it. Well, of course, Yaakov didn't say it because this sentence is here many years after Yaakov had passed away. But this is specifically when he was in the middle of a conversation with a beautiful, beautiful woman by the name of Rachel. And he wanted to marry her. And Rachel said, you know, sounds like a great idea, but there's one slight problem. I have an older sister named Leah, and my father, Laban, is a trickster. And he's going to end up doing something which we're not going to be able to get married. So on this, Yaakov said, I can also trick him. If he's going to be playing games with me, I'll do the exact same thing. And on this, the Talmud, Rachel said, how can you do that? So on this, they quote this sentence, Ikesh to Tapol. If you're dealing with someone who's crooked, you have to play their game as well. Because otherwise, the Torah is not requiring us to just to be played as a fool, that someone's going to take complete advantage of me because I'm a good person and you're not a good person, or the vice versa, it could be. That doesn't mean you have to allow people to step all over you. You have to say, you know what? I hope that you deal with me properly, with respect, and if that's how you deal with me, then I will react and deal with you respectfully in the same way. However, unfortunately, if you are acting inappropriate, then I have no choice but to have to react in that same way, because you don't have the capacity of understanding what it's like to be nice. So if you're mean, so I have to be a little bit that way as well. And that's how Hashem deals with people too. And that's how we're supposed to interact. That's the message, that even though Yaakov was a very good person, a tremendous individual, nonetheless, when it came to dealing with people, you have to deal with people differently. You can't deal with every single person the same way. Unfortunately, people are different, and therefore, you can't allow people to take advantage of you. If you look in Rashi, in addition to the Paro piece, if you look in Pasuk Vav, where it says, Im chasid tamim navar, as we mentioned, Rashi's always mentions, like mentioned about Paro in the Pasuk of Zion. So, it never is it talking about David, it's talking about the history of the Jewish people. So he says, who are these great people that were tamim? Keneged shlosha avos shishiyam etosh baruch gemul sid kaslam levneihem. So it's not referring to himself, I'm such a great person, I'm such a tzaddik, which is kind of hard to understand how he could be saying that, but rather he's referring to our forefathers and the way that they conducted themselves and their acts of righteousness, the way that they behaved, as well as our matriarchs, and that's how Hashem paid us back based on the schus avos, the fact that we are connected to our forefathers. I may not be such a great person, but Hashem looks at me and says, you know what? I'm friends with your father. Your father's a good guy. I think you're not such a great guy. But you know what? You're lucky that you're related to this guy, so I'm going to be nice to you as well. And that's what it is, schus avos. The truth is, we may not have the mitzvos to really be very impressive in Hashem's eyes. But the fact is that we have this connection, that we have this DNA to our forefathers. Let's just see one more pasuk, and we'll stop. So that was pasuk chav zayin. V'es am oni toishia ve'enecha al ramim tashpil. So an Am Oni, a nation which is literally, is Oni is poor, but it's translated here as humble. Teshia, you have saved, you've caused us salvation. Beinecha, in your eyes, Al Romim Tashpil, on those people who are Romim, who elevate themselves, although they do not deserve such positions of power, Tashpil, you have caused them to fall. And Hashem is, again, what Dov is saying, that even though there are people that were great, and there are some people that gave the impression that they were powerful, those people will not be able to stand the test of time. Those people will fall. As we see, as actually Mark Twain wrote in one of his beautiful, beautiful passage about the power and the uniqueness of the Jewish people, they see all the nations, all these powerful countries that ruled the world, where are they today? So those are the Einechal Romim, they lifted and elevated themselves, Tashpil, they have fallen. But when it comes to an Amani, a nation which is small, very humble, not extremely impressive, Toshia, Hashem was always able to cause us to survive somehow, miraculously. And therefore David acknowledges that so too myself, even though I had all these enemies that wanted to harm me, and I'm just this one guy, but because I have this kesher, this relationship to God, therefore I remained saved, and I thank God for that to this day. Stop here.